Coach Janet and I were talking about some of the things that we need to overcome as we are on our journey with Flush Your Fat for Good, some of the thought processes and maybe some hurts from the past that might be in the back of our mind, which is really kind of the whole basis for the how Power 100 came about. As I was on my journey, I realized that there were some things that had happened in my past that probably contributed to my weight gain, and the thought occurred to me that if I didn't deal with some of those things and move past them, that in all likelihood I would regain the weight once I had lost it, and I didn't want that to happen again. And so I thought if I had that situation, maybe some other people do also, and I think probably all of us have some things that we need to work through. So in particular, Janet and I were talking today about maybe there are some people we need to forgive, or situations that were specific things that happened that we need to put behind us. So that could be a variety of things, probably something different for just about everyone on the call. So just wanted to throw that subject out there. Some of the things that had happened to me were things along the lines of comments that were made to me as I was growing up. But the things that happened to somebody else might be totally different. Maybe someone had something traumatic happen in their life. Maybe something extremely traumatic, like abuse or something along those lines. We're not, of course, counselors. We can't do any professional counseling, but we just want this to be a safe place that if you need to say something, it's okay. You can. And especially for tonight's call, as you're getting on in the queue, if you do want to say something, I will not announce your name as I'm taking you off mute, just in case you want to say something without identifying yourself. So I just want to make it perfectly clear from the start. If you need to just make a comment and you don't want it recorded, your name, that's perfectly fine. Or if you want to use a different name, that's perfectly fine as well. We want you to be comfortable. So, Janet, are there some things that caused you some pain in your past that you have learned to deal with, or maybe something where you forgave someone or anything like that? I have no idea what you're going to answer here.
You know, I think so. I know there was a lot of abuse in my childhood. There was a lot of verbal abuse and then just a lot of control and manipulation. And my dad would walk around as you filled your plate in, and he had 8 kids. And so he was like putting this guilt trip on us for serving ourselves. And he would sing this little song, "Let Your Conscience Be Your Guide." And I haven't really worked through that as far as is that, you know, what effect did that have on me other than very annoying and very definitely brought what I was choosing to a level of consciousness and guilt. Like I didn't know what exactly was the correct amount to take if I was letting my conscience be my guide. And but it just brought a great deal of, I think, guilt and frustration to the meal, you know, like at the very beginning, before we have even sat down to eat, I'm already feeling horrible. And, you know, in that kind of depressed, here we go, we got to sing again, you know, here goes this song. And he would do it in a not so funny way. And so I just really think that, that probably had some effect on me. And sorry, I got a truck passing me by. And I think that all these forms of abuse do have an effect on us, and you know, do alter the way we come to the table, or the way we address food and what we think about it. And I think
so. He was saying that to make you think to not
money.
Save money and not, not everybody eat. Not eat as much. Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, there was a lot of other things that he did, but that's one of the, in particular, that's the one that showed up at the dinner table. That's the one that showed up every meal, you know, and that just came to mind. But the other, you know, there was a lot of verbal abuse and a lot of control and kind of being manipulated, and I think all that, you know, you just kind of get rebellious. And coming into my 20s, I was going to eat what I wanted to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And even as a kid, they would had a sister that couldn't eat certain donuts. I don't really know what that was, but as soon as they popped that donut, that box of donuts open, and they had frozen donuts in the freezer, deep freeze. As soon as they would open one, then I would start helping myself because my room was right across the street, right across the hall from the freezer. And it wasn't really a supervised, it was in the basement, so it wasn't supervised by my parents. And I remember, you know, going in there and stealing food, and was just, I think looking back, that's like the world I could control. It's like, you can't stop me. You don't even know I'm doing this. Mm. And, you know, and it led to a lot of, I think, a bad relationship with food.
Mm-hmm.
And areas where I needed to grow up and change and evolve. And, you know, I've worked like a lifetime on mm-hmm. that. And I think we all do.
So yours was directly related to food because he was controlling you, trying to control your food intake.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So as you have been working through this, do you find that you have forgiven him? Have you thought about that?
Yeah, I've worked through a lot of forgiveness for him. I had to, you know, and my mom at a very young age. In my 20s and 30s and 40s, and spent a lot of time to where I would say I forgive easily and quickly because I know how important it is. Like, the only one it's hurting is me. Being you know, holding unforgiveness or revenge or whatever, it's only going to hurt me, and I'm going to be the one that's miserable. And so I'm quick to forgive. And I suggested this call because of a sermon that my son preached Sunday, which was, it takes one to forgive, but it takes two to reconcile. And reconciliation, sometimes we hold that responsibility, and it's not about, you know, we can't make somebody else reconcile with us. And if we never get back in relationship with that person, it doesn't mean that we didn't forgive, or we, you know, that there's something wrong with us that we didn't reconcile. And so I just wanted to bring that up to this call, and I thought maybe some ways that people would benefit from thinking about that, you know, where are we holding unforgiveness, or where are we holding ourselves responsible for a reconciliation that we can't make happen alone?
And that's a good point, because some people maybe we can't reconcile with. Maybe they've already passed away. Maybe it was a stranger that abused one of us, or you know, maybe it was a crime committed and we are not going to be reconciled with that person. But forgiveness is something different, and if we don't work through those issues, you're right, the only person that we're hurting is ourselves. So we do have a caller in the queue, so I am going to take the first caller, area code 408.
Yes, It's Kathleen. I'm your sister.
Yes.
And I'm fine with people knowing who I am. There's a couple of things I just wanted to add. So, you know, I think at least my perspective on growing up in our childhood, since we shared a mutual childhood, we didn't share everything, but we each had our own, you know, perspective on it. But we lived in a household where, you know, food was, of course, we were reminded that, you know, money doesn't grow on trees all the time and things like that. But food was somewhat, it was just distorted, you know, even though we came from a family where our father and grandfather and uncle were all doctors, they were, you know, at a time when we were growing up, it was like four basic food groups, and if you want to lose weight, you eat less calories, and, you know, get down to less than 1,000 calories, you know, a day, and, you know, so I wanted to live on Snicker bars, you know, when I got to college, because I felt I could eat four and still be under 1,000 calories, you know, and so we had this distortion on food and nutrition because of our family's education, but also food was used as, well, clean your plate and then you can have dessert. And when we went on family vacations, the ice box in the car always had candy bars in it or chip bags or things. And I remember when anybody in the car wanted to have a candy bar, everybody in the car had a candy bar because they felt like they were going to miss their fair share of these candy bars that were there. And so it was this weird cycle that we were in. And, you know, at some point, you have to take control of your own life, you know, despite the things that you were taught when you were grown up and your paradigms. And that can be difficult at times because while I didn't necessarily experience a severe trauma, obviously I went through my things because of being heavy myself and having the majority of our family members be heavy, including our mom, and our mom didn't have the energy to participate with us like she could have if she had been fit and healthy. So there's a lot of that that kind of you carry with you as like regret or maybe sometimes anger because you were embarrassed to have people over to your house, you know, because you had a fat family, right? You know, it was just in a bizarre situation. So I guess what I want to say is bring in something that we teach kids. So with CineQuest, which is this company that I founded, and we work with youth all over the world on a program called Picture the Possibilities. And a lot of these youth come from very difficult backgrounds, which I'm sure many of our listeners have had similar situations, like you were just referring to, an abusive sort of situation, or trauma in their lives. Or, you know, we work with kids in East Palo Alto who live in some of the most desperate of situations where they have a fear going to school that they're going to be shot and killed, you know, and they've seen family members killed. And or poor kids in Harlem we work with, or Mexico City kids that have other sorts of situations in their life that are trauma-related or just difficult lives. And what we teach them through this program is that the power, it's called the Seven Powers of Creating, and one of the seven powers we teach is about their perspective, and the perspective that they come from and their experiences in their life is their power, right? So nobody else has that but them, right? So nobody has your experiences but you. And you can use those as power in your life that can do good for other people. So if you've experienced rape, for example, or had some other kind of trauma, you know, that's significant, you can reach a point in your life where you use that as power, because I don't have that, you have it, and you can use that to better yourself or to better others on your journey through life. So I think shifting your perspective on there are certain things that have happened to us in our lives that were outside of our control. And if we can look at that a little bit differently and say, yeah, but that's my power because that's unique to me and nobody else has that but me. So that's what I wanted to add.
That's excellent. So your unique experiences that you went through can be then turned around and used for good to help someone else.
Exactly, exactly. You know, I mean, I have guilt about things that happened to you, but I'm guilty about them because I saw them happen, right? Mm-hmm. And so I hold this guilt about those things, you know. You had a unique upbringing. You were an identical twin. And that's a hard life to grow up in as a child, you know, when you're constantly being compared. And I was a viewer of that, right? So I feel guilty about it for some reason because I didn't understand it as a child. And, you know, you haven't learned, you know, how to reason things and stuff. So,
Kathleen, this is Coach Janet. Can I interrupt a second with a question?
Sure. Yeah.
When you watched her, especially because Jennifer was the bigger twin. Like everyone talked about her as though she was the bigger one, you know. And then did you ever empathize with that? And did you ever want to kind of help her through it, like by coming alongside and eating similarly or whatever? How did that affect you?
You know, of course I empathize with it because it was sad to see that happen, and especially in family situations where, like, some distant great aunt or something would say something cruel, you know, like to, like, you know, one of my sisters, mm-hmm. you know, when they were being compared. So I, of course, did, but I was, you know, I was 2 years younger, and it's hard how you support your sibling, you know, that's 2 years older, go through that, especially if they choose maybe not to share it openly with you, or you don't have that kind of communication relationship where you're telling each other everything, you know, but you see it. And so, of course, it made me sad, or I became defensive in some situations, you know, to defend my sisters. But mm-hmm. it's hard as a child, right? You know, because you don't have power, or you don't think you have power, when in reality you do, because, you know, we're all powerful. You know, we all have power within ourselves. So it's, and probably a lot of that affected the way I was eating because I felt sad for them. You know, I felt, but we were all, we were all kind of living in this distorted eating, you know, situation.
Yeah.
We weren't taught nutrition, you know, we weren't taught how to live a healthy lifestyle. But like I say, you get to a point in your life where you have to look, I mean, you can choose to continue and think about that in a negative way or a sad way or a hurt, you know, a sorrowful way. I mean, you know, it's pain, you know, that we have to get through and deal with. Or you can make a choice and say, yeah, but that's unique to me. And now I can empathize. Now I can support other people that have similar sorts of things because I know exactly what they're going through. Or I know something very similar to what they've gone through, right?
Yeah, that's so powerful.
It is. And, you know, it makes us who we are, right?
Mm-hmm.
All these unique situations that we have gone through in our life. One other thing I'll comment on is that, you know, the one way I think I dealt with it, with eating and living in this distorted kind of where we didn't understand nutrition or the value or why food was doing what it was to our bodies or whatever, was at some point when I was really heavy and I didn't see hope on getting out of that cycle because I hadn't found flesh or fat for good yet, I began almost eating more. I ate more. And I ate more in a destructive way because I was hoping I don't want to say I wanted to kill myself. I wanted to get through this life faster so I could get on to the next one, you know, in hopes that that next one would be better, you know, that I would have all the answers. So,
wow.
So anyway, luckily I found
it. That's both you guys. Mm-hmm. This is Jackie. Thank you for sharing that, Kathleen and Janet. I think, you know, that just brings tears to my eyes, because that's, you know, they call the heart attack the silent killer, really holding that in and being so sad about your existence all because of your weight, hoping that you're just going to, you might as well just eat. Like Janet, you said, I just got rebellious. I just went in and got those donuts.
Yeah. Like a little thief. I mean, literally.
Yeah.
Like that.
But you
that
didn't know
my,
what was.
I got you. I'm sticking it to you. And you don't even. And I never once thought about that being.
But you didn't
even
know what
wrong,
you were doing.
No.
And Kathleen, you didn't really. In a way, you weren't analyzing it like, okay, what the hell? I'm just going to commit suicide with my food here. But I think you gave up.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a give up.
I think it was a total give up. And, you know, because it was just nothing was working that I could sustain. Well, like, you know, there was kind of two periods in my whole life where I got my weight down, or around 140 pounds, which
mm-hmm.
I'm 5'8". So, you know, that was once in my senior year in high school, and then probably about 10 years ago or 8 years ago when I was working out like 2 hours a day, hardcore working out every single day, and eating a lot of chicken and brown rice. But it just wasn't sustainable. It was a miserable way to live.
Right, and it probably did some damage to your liver, too. So, you know, and with, I can relate to Jennifer being a twin because I'm a twin. And it's interesting how twins, you know, even though we're born twins, doesn't mean that we're exactly alike. Even I went to school with mirror twins, and their bodies looked exactly like, you know, they were called mirror twins, that you could not tell them apart. But they still had different likes and wishes and dreams. And when my twin sister and I, after my dad died, we were kidnapped, molested, and almost killed. And the shame that came from that, with people, especially our principals of our school that pulled us in and, you know, threatened us and told us it was our fault, and then the parents didn't want us to play with their kids, and the guy was finally, you know, we had to take him to court, and he finally died in prison 10 years later. But the shame that came from that, and they were already telling my twin sister and I apart from, oh, you're the heavy one. Oh, you're the one with the round chipmunk cheeks. Oh, you're the one that, oh, I can tell you guys apart. Turn around, mix up, and then I can tell you apart. You're the fatter one. And when you know, people do not understand what they're doing, especially kids. But some of the shame basing was coming from my older sister and brother. They didn't mean to do it. They just thought it was funny. And they were high school, we were elementary, and then junior high. And so you have these things happen to you, and my attitude was, I'm not going to let anybody take my joy from me. That's all there is to it. But my twin sister took it a different way, and she decided not only to hurt herself with foods, but also with alcohol and drugs, because we were told, you know, well, you're just unclean now. So here we are 9 years old, and you're just unclean. Why did you let that happen to you? And yet we were being chased with a knife. But people say some of the stupidest things. And yet that it develops an engram, which is goes into your brain. And just like with Janet, her father saying, you know, use your consciousness or use your conscience, or what was that, Janet?
Conscience be your guide.
Yeah,
like
let
the
your
Pinocchio
conscience
song.
Be your guide. Right.
No.
Right before you eat, It's like my guide to what? Not eat because other people are starving? My guide to, I'm not going to stuff my face. I'm not going to eat. What is this? You know, it develops. She's right, what she said. Right before she sat down, she was already feeling sick to her stomach. So, you know, sometimes we, and that's why this is a great topic, Jennifer and Janet, because the Power 100 heroes, they're heroes because they're giving life a second chance. Giving up, surrendering, baggy clothes, muumuus, you know, stapling the stomach, putting the lap band, doing all the drugs, doing all the different stupid pineapple diet, the watermelon diet, the this kind of diet, the that kind of diet. And just like Kathleen said, chicken and rice and working out at a gym for hours is not only not sustainable, but it's really damaging. And all this is why Flush Your Fat for Good is just absolutely essential to bring to the world. Because you look at all these other programs out there, they don't talk about paradigms. They don't talk about the emotional reasons why you got there. Because just like Coach Jennifer said, I knew if I didn't get my inside emotions cared for, no matter what, I would just go right back. But the one thing interesting about Flush Your Fat for Good is not only we have the accountability and support pillar, which is number 8, but also healthy body, healthy mind. When you start eating the way God developed your body through biochemistry and physiology, your hormones start to balance. Your body starts to function through digestion, absorption, elimination. You start to have more energy. You start to have more clear thinking. You sleep better. Your mood is better. Your attitude is better. All of a sudden, things are changing in your life because you are what you eat. You eat crap, you're going to feel like crap. You eat, you know, you're going to starve yourself. Your attitude is going to be deprivation and irritation, and frustration. People do not understand how valuable eating right is. And just like until Kathleen said, until I found Flush Your Fat for Good. And so I'm going to turn this back over to you, Jennifer, but I can only tell you my twin sister had to go through years of therapy to come around to the fact that as a little girl, she didn't do anything wrong. But how she felt about herself was like, oh, well, I'm bad anyway. Oh, well, I'm no good anyway. Oh, well, I'm dirty anyway. Oh, well, I'm fat anyway. Until she could find herself and her happiness and her joy. And that's what we want for our Power 100 heroes. We don't care what's happened. You have a safe place to talk about it, share it, get it off your chest if you wish, no matter what. And there is no judgment. But the bottom line is the paradigm of, you know, why you got yourself to be over 100 pounds in the first place no longer has to exist. And now we can look and start a fresh, clean slate on who you are now, because you're learning how to feed yourself. Not difficult. It's not difficult. It's just different. But once you do, everything, the vibration of everything, will change around for the positive.